The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Did you see the big topic of the weekend that we have yet something else that's going to kill us now?
The murder hornets?
The murder hornets are
I can already tell
States.
You. I don't like them. I don't like them one bit.
This thing's stinger can get through it can puncture a beekeeping suit, and they have mandibles shaped like spiked shark fins that will wipe out a honeybee hive in a matter of hours, decapitating the bees and flying away with the thoraxes to feed their young.
Damn.
And in Japan, the hornets kill up to 50 people a year.
Oh, no.
What do you guys think about Dalton signing with the Cowboys? I guess that happened Saturday. I think that's a really good backup quarterback to have.
And honestly, if that way, if Dak wants to get cute and hold out, I mean, the Cowboys are going to say, okay, well, we'll live without you. And it may be the right message to send to Dak that, you know, is Andy Dalton the long-term answer? No, but he could certainly be a bridge to a new guy.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Quick like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you miss the first 2 hours, sorry. Good stuff. Shame on you. Lance Zierlein. Murder hornets. Oh, and you can get it on podcastarena.com. Just go and check that out. All will be available there shortly. But please wait until the show's done, because you want to hear the third hour live, right?
Isn't that how yeah, of course. Hey, Aaron, give Eric Warner a call. We're supposed to. It's every other Monday. It's his Monday to be on, and I totally forgot about it. I just texted him. He said he can do it if we want him to. So we'll have Eric on here and talk some shop with him.
We always want Eric on.
That's
Eric's
right.
The best. Can I do a quick shout out while we're doing that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to let people know when our guys do something good. Today, Jerry Bowe and Big City Wings were able to take food to some of the production workers at the Cy-Fair ISD schools who are working, and fed a whole bunch of them. And just one of those things that they want to do something good, and Sam offered to do it, so put him with Jerry, and they went out and did that today. So we got some good people we do business with and who work with us. Just like to let people know about those things.
All right.
So we have Eric?
We do.
All right. Let's go to our man, Eric Warner. What's going
What's
on,
going
buddy?
What's going on, guy? How much are you? I'm about to crack a weekend warrior, the folks at the brewery, we had a new experimental beer I had to try, so they sent that up, and I got like a case of Hopadillo and a case of Weekend Warrior to boot.
Oh, nice. So you got a care package from home.
I did. It's amazing. It made my week. I tell you, that's an awesome thought, an awesome gift, but it doesn't take much to make your week these days, right?
That's right. Well, have you guys talked much about when things are going back to normal for Carbach? Or do you guys have any plans of going back to normalcy anytime soon?
You know, I think the idea is that by the end of I guess I'm going to break that down into a couple segments, right? There's the retail part,
yeah,
and then there's the brewery operations part. We kind of softly, quietly opened on Friday, just for a limited little bit of outdoor space. Had a few people show up, right? But certainly nothing like a normal weekend. And obviously we don't want that right now, right? That'd be too much. But
right.
We're trying to slowly kind of get back into the swing of things here. Of course, opted not to do takeout. So it's kind of a good opportunity for our, you know, retail team to sort of get back into the swing of things a little bit. You know, kind of, I mean, that's a big operation there, and you can't just go from 0 to 60 like that. So, yeah, we're just kind of quiet. But in terms of, you know, really saying, hey, let's do this, yeah, we're not there yet. We're definitely not there yet. And obviously, the you know, the mandates from the government, you know, we couldn't do that even if we wanted, right? So, what are you guys seeing around? I mean, I saw your Trader Joe's picture earlier, AJ, but what's going on with some of the, like, I would imagine some of the barbecue joints would be kind of maybe hopping again now, yeah?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm in no rush to get out to it, I can tell you that. I'm fine with the way things are working with takeout and things like that. I don't need to go sit in a restaurant, certainly. But I know, you know, we talked about it today. I had a meeting today where we were talking about basically when we're going to be back at work. When do we want to be back to normal? And my thought was, there's no rush. I'm not in any hurry. I mean, if we can continue to do the shows remotely and stay as safe as possible, then we might as well do it.
It's it's amazing. The longer this goes on, the more, you know, transformative it's going to be for certain industries, right? Like, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a piece in Rolling Stone within the last week, but it was mainly focused on concerts, you know, big outdoor festivals and stuff, and just all the nightmares that everybody's had to deal with there. And, you know, they say, okay, even if we get that fired up later in the summer, you're going to have all these events trying to dogpile on top of each other. And, you know, people only have, you know, if Bonnaroo is going on at the same time as ACL, right, it's not like people are going to do both, whereas in a normal year they might. But, you know, they talked about this new, like, live streaming music phenomenon, right, where musicians are starting to do more and more. And that was kind of up and coming a little bit anyway. So yeah, AJ, I mean, who knows? I mean, if it, you know, if we don't flatten the curve and we have to keep staying home all summer, then, you know, maybe you never go back to the studio. I don't know. I think you miss some chemistry, right? I think that's part of the, you know, having been fortunate enough to sit in with you guys live. It's amazing to see the good, bad, and the ugly of the chemistry between you two sometimes. And so, you know, I know at some point we'll get back to that, but it's going to change a lot of things, right? And restaurants, obviously, you know, we're having to do the whole protocols, and every municipality across the country is doing that. And of course, I think that gets into another thing of enforcement, right? At some point, is things, you know, get lax, you know, are there going to be health officials, you know, literally at every restaurant every day? No, probably not. But I think it's, right now, it's a numbers game, right? You're just trying to keep that virus from circulating around society. So,
I mean, have there been any talk about you when you're coming back? Have you talked to your wife or your bosses? Have they given you any kind of timeline on when they'd like to have you back here in town?
Yeah, we've been talking about that, and we're still on a, you know, non-essential people not really wanted in the building, and you know, I'd like to think I'm important, but you know, talking about people who actually are making the beer, right, day in and day out,
right.
Looking at later in the month is the tentative plan. We had a big conference call about that. Broader company-wise, not just Carbach, right, last week. And yeah, that's the great thing is everybody is putting employee safety, customer safety at the forefront. And so, like you said, AJ, we're proving we can do things, certain things remotely, right? You can't brew batches of beer remotely, but a lot of other things we can. So, but yeah, I'm thinking later in the month That's the hope.
Yeah, it's a tough decision to make. I mean, you know, and some of these restaurants, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're if everybody wants to open or they just feel like they're pressured to open now. I don't know what the deal is with a lot of these places. It's I think everyone's just in a really weird situation of like, I mean, do we open because we can? Does that mean that we should? It really is kind of an odd predicament that we're all in.
Well, and it's a damned if you do, damned if
right.
you don't. You know, we've had very bimodal, you know, feedback on our very quiet opening, right? And as have other restaurants, right? You know, some people are like, oh, my God, you guys are awesome, and let's get back to it. But, you know, you read a lot of the polls out now, and you know, most Americans, I think, are still being very cautious, right? And that's the right thing to do, I think.
Eric Warner,
go
ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask: is you know, we talked before about how businesses might change. Maybe you don't go to physical menus. Do you see this being an opportunity for places to stop taking cash? That because I know a lot of places are already doing that, and you know, cash is pretty disgusting. Do you think that's something that might happen down the road?
I hope so. I mean, I think cash is great. Like if you're paying off a bet, a wager to somebody, you know, because it just there's that sting of actually handing over the green, or the flip side of being the recipient. But or you know, hey, it's Christmas and Grandma gives you a crisp $10 bill or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, in terms of everyday transactions, I don't see why. It's like the penny, right? Why does the penny still exist? It makes no sense to me. But, Fred,
all right,
you're going to see a tidal wave of changes hit this the hospitality industry. And it's, you know, the reality is, it's extremely painful right now, but there's going to be some amazing new technologies and companies born out of this crisis that are going to address these new needs, right? And so, you know, I think it's going to be a painful, whatever, 6, 12, 18 months, who knows. But I think long-term, you know, a lot of opportunity comes out of situations like this. But I really feel for all the mom and pop restaurants, right? They're the ones who I think are really going to have the hardest time getting back up to normal and getting back up to speed.
I mean, if there is ever any normal, I mean, we've talked about the fact that you guys are you took this as an opportunity to focus on your production and you know, making sure grocery stores stay stocked and things like that, which I think was a good move. In a time where, you know, the smaller breweries are really unable to do that. So they're focused more on selling beer, that they can get sold to go in crowlers or whatever. And you guys are saying, well, let's keep the grocery store stocked. And, you know, and I think that everybody kind of found their place in your industry, it seems like. And things opening back up almost kind of it puts a little bit of a wrench into that, although I guess eventually it had to go back to normal anyway, but I just don't know if now's the time for it to be considered normal, you know?
Yeah, no, we're still a ways away from that for sure. But I think that you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's really going to have this effect of forcing breweries to rethink their business models and really become efficient and make sure they're serving their customers on site in a way that's safe, yet you still have, you know, the camaraderie. And that's the whole part for me, guys, that is weird. Like, I was talking with my wife about this last night. Like, how weird would it be sitting in a restaurant like, okay, I've got my mask on now. Oh, here comes my beer. I'm going to slip my mask down, take a sip of beer, mask back up. Okay, here comes my food, mask down. I don't know how excited about that I am.
We're all going to have GIMP masks with zippers. It's the only way. It's the only way. All right, that's Eric Warner from Carbach. You got time to hang around for one more segment, Eric?
You got it, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Lil' CC, let it slap with the bass. I used to say, put a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, I love him.
You're listening to the Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. And Mark says, tell Eric, thanks for me. You just bought a 24-pack of 16-ounce Crawford Bach at Specs for $20.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the big trends in this, and it's a logical one, right? But our proportion of larger pack sizes has definitely increased in terms of sales. Everybody, you know, they're going out. It's like, hey, I'm going to get the, you know, biggest pack I can get because I don't want to have to go to the store more than I have to, right?
Exactly.
So we've seen a huge spike in our big multi-pack sales, for sure.
Have sales in general been good during this? It seems like everybody's still willing to spend money on alcohol. If whatever cuts they're making, they're still spending money on alcohol.
Yeah, so we're, you know, I'm not going to lie. We're, even if you factor out the on-premise, i.e. the bar and restaurant sales, we're still down a little bit in the last couple weeks. You know, everybody, when that pantry loading was going on back at the end of March, everybody was booming, but, you know, second half of April, it kind of slowed down a little bit. And, you know, for us, last April, you know, you think about it, that's when, you know, Crawford Bach came out and, you know, there was all the excitement about baseball and the Astros and that beer. And so, but yeah, we're holding our own. We're still doing, well. And, again, you kind of touched on it in the last segment, any of the breweries that are able to, you know, service the stores in a meaningful way, they're doing okay, right? But it's the breweries that are, you know, heavily reliant on the on-premise sales, that those guys are struggling because there's only so much you know, beer to go and crowlers and you know, you can sell versus, hey, I've got a packed house on a Saturday afternoon and I'm selling a bunch of pints in addition to people taking beer to go. So, but, yeah, generally, spirits has been kind of the big winner. Spirits and the seltzers, they are continuing to crank the kind of value beer brands. Bang for the buck. Those are doing really well. Again, none of this super surprising. Imports not doing as well. I'm thinking maybe in part because of price, but also because, I'm not going to buy a beer from Italy or, you know, wherever that, you know, they've got these case counts that, you know, people are just in the back of their mind, right? They have these weird little things like that, even though the beer might be perfectly safe. And yeah, unfortunately, craft has not been as strong as some of the other categories. And guys, I think that's due to a couple things. I think it's obviously price. Like I say, the value brands are doing really well. And then, what's a resounding trend right now is people are buying trusted, quote unquote, trusted brands. So, if you are a beer brand that's been around for 50 years, you're doing great. A beer brand that's been around for 20 years, great. 10 years, you're doing pretty good. But if you're kind of brand new, you've only been out in the last couple of years, and people don't know you, I think there's a little bit of a struggle there, right? And the flip side of that is great, is that people are really wanting to support local business and do it in a safe manner, and they are going to go to their brewery and get the
the local growler fill, right? But when it comes to the supermarket specifically or the liquor store, you know, that's a little bit different beast.
What's it been like in Colorado? Like, let's see, are people wearing masks? Are people, you know, having a hard time with it? What's the sort of been the feeling about things out there?
It's similar, man. I mean, by and large, the place we're in, you know, people are complying. And Fred, you and I can joke about this, but, you know, there are a lot of olds in the town I'm at. So I think, you know, they're definitely all doing it. It's you know, a lot of the younger people you see not doing it. But, you know, it's funny. I went into a store this afternoon, and, you know, you literally you walk in and this sign smacks you in the face. You're not allowed in without a mask. And then I'm in the checkout line, and I watch this guy and his daughter, I think. I hope it was his daughter anyway. come in, you know, no mask. And I'm like, how did you not see that sign? Come on.
Did they kick him out?
They didn't, right? And that's the thing where it's when I talked about enforcement earlier, that's what's so weird about this is that, you know, you can't be everywhere, and you can't even the people working in the store, right? They may not see it. Now, maybe they went further into the store. This was a grocery store, right? And maybe somebody said something to them, but, you know, I can't emphasize enough, and you know, at Carbach, I definitely want to make a shout out to everybody at, you know, our distributor partners and our retail partners. These people, you see it in their faces, they are dog tired. They have been working double time to make sure that the shelves are stocked, and that, you know, they're having to do all these new protocols, sanitation wise, you know, wiping down everything. And, you know, they've obviously hired up new staff to do that. And in certain cases, they outsource some of that sanitation stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you're working that hard and your dog tired, you know, there's only so many times you're going to be like, hey, buddy, you don't have a mask. You have to leave. Right.
Right.
So,
and I think there's also the concern of, like, you know, if you tell somebody now that they can't come in without a mask and they don't like it, then maybe they just say, you know what, I'm not going to come back to your place even when this thing's over. It's tough decisions for people.
You know, and I hate to say it, but even in the times like these, I find humor always works really well. So if you have, like, this really mean, kind of nasty sign, like, if you don't have a mask on, I'm kicking you out. You know, versus, I don't know if you guys saw this meme about, let's try to make the mask, you know, concept simple. And it was basically like, hey, if I don't have pants on and I pee, then that pee is going to go all over everywhere.
Yeah, it's like two people with no pants and one pees on the other. It's a mess.
Yeah, and then exactly.
And if the person getting peed on is wearing pants, it's a mess, but at least it's not on your leg. Whereas if the person who pees is also wearing pants, then there's less mess to be had altogether.
That's right. He's got a wet crotch, but that's it, right? I'm not getting
exactly
pee on me.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Hey, I haven't talked to David the other week. I mean, how much do you know about what you guys have going on with Southern Smoke?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, definitely. And what an amazing opportunity. And you know, obviously right now we're just doing something very immediate to help out with food service, restaurant, bar people who, you know, are in an immediate need. But yeah, there's definitely a bigger vision here, with a beer that, you know, will be out its own label down the road, to really, you know, what Chris Shepherd is, you know, cultivated with all of that is pretty amazing. Right. And, I mean, that guy has just done so much for the community, And obviously he's an amazing, you know, James Beard, award-winning chef. So, we're just thrilled to be able to, you know, work with him on this. It's really exciting. And, it's kind of neat to see it unfold and how it's going to grow, and, really, really excited for that. And DG, you know, he, kind of like with Crawford Bock, you know, he finds these partnership opportunities that give back to the community, and he just gets all over it. And, it's his baby, and he's really, really enjoyed working on it. So yeah, it's really cool. And I thank you guys for having him on. That was really, really neat.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about what they've got going on with that. I mean, I think it's an awesome thing they're doing. I mean, you guys do so much with the community, whether it's the, you know, Southern Wheat or the Crawford Bock or the Coastal Conservation. You know, it always seems like you guys are giving some of that money back. And then now this Love Street to Go thing has been a big deal. So it's one of the great things that you guys have been doing, not only during this crazy pandemic, but constantly, really.
Yeah, we've, you know, and it's, I tell you, AJ, one of the sadder things right now is, you know, I saw some people, our first big foray into any of this was with the MS-150. And, we did that, literally the first year we were up and running. So early 2012, we got a little team together, and that really had blossomed into, something big. And it's really unfortunate that event, it's just had there was one year we had the really bad thunderstorms, so they had to cancel a day, and then the route changed, and so the ridership in that event, you know, dropped off. But of course that was all supposed to happen this past weekend, and it didn't. So again, you know, these are these things you just don't even think about, but it's like, yeah, I guess, you know, 10,000 people together on a bike ride and then hanging out in a tent, at night on Saturday night isn't going to work anymore, at least not for the next couple of years. But yeah, we've kind of had that mindset since day one. Like, how can we have some fun and work with cool people and cool events and give back to the community and, you know, make sure while everybody's doing that, they've got a cold beer in their hands. Fun.
All right, that's Eric Warner from Carbock. Man, looking forward to having you back in Houston and sitting down in the studio and trying some new beer that one of your guys put through the hopper. I'm just excited to get things back to normal, but I also understand not being in a rush to do it. So always good to hear from you, man. Good to catch up on the great things Carbock's doing, and you know, good to get your perspective on some things.
Love you guys, man. You hang in there, and we'll see you soon.
All right, brother.
Bye.
All right, man. Yeah, and we'll leave the segment with this from 409. Crawford Bock is the best still. Still good if it gets warm bouncing around on the tractor, but not too heavy. Many, many thanks for an excellent brew.
Yeah.
That is one of the few beers that the wife and I agree on. So, like, if I bring home some Crawford Bock, it doesn't last. So, usually she doesn't like what I like, and I don't like what she likes, so it works out. But that's one very different. All right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. How can we exist in a constant state of crisis? Society in
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And we talked about this a little bit last week, that the soap operas where they're not doing kissing and stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw today, I was watching, I think it was Channel 26, because I was trying to get information because there was a fire in my neighborhood, and I still don't know where it was. But and if anybody knows anything about that and could text me, that would be awesome. But they were talking about how actors may refuse to do sex scenes in movies moving forward.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with. I got to tell you, I've never been a fan of sex scenes. To me, they're not really, they're not really vital. I think you can tell me that, hey, you had sex. Great. Or you could show me them going into the room or something like that. But I don't really need to see. I don't really need to see that as part of a narrative. I mean, if I want to see naked people actually having sex, I've got porn. That's a different animal.
Yeah, but how are you going to see actual famous actresses naked?
Most of them use body doubles anyway. It's not even real.
But what about the scene from True Detective on the couch?
Well, that was nice, but,
that was a necessary scene.
Did it really move the story forward? I mean, it was fun to see.
Made me want to rewatch the season.
Well, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority in this, but most of the time, it's like a car chase to me. I don't need it. I mean, you don't need to, 10 minutes of zipping around town and almost crashing and things like that. I don't really need the 4 minutes of fake sex. But, I'm always story oriented, and unless it's critical to the story to do that, I don't think you need to. I wouldn't miss it. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I'm probably in the minority.
See, it's funny because, the fact that there's even any discussion of that, what's going to happen to the porno industry?
They have to keep doing it, though, right? You can't
have porn without sex. Porno. But, how many... I mean, there's already such strict testing going on with these porno folk. Like, did they have to start testing them for coronavirus every time they come into work?
Probably so. At some point, I think you're going to get to that, or at least you have to take your temperature, those kind of things.
Yeah.
That I know a lot of places are already doing. But for that, yes, I think you can put some things in place, and maybe they work out. A32 asks, what about the sex scenes in movies like Monster and Brokeback Mountain? I don't need to see that. I know what's going on. I have my own imagination. And, that's the thing. It seems almost cliche that they do them. Like every show has to have some kind of sex scene now. And it is. It's like car chases or chases on foot. It's like, do we really need those anymore?
Well, do we need fight scenes?
Yes.
Yeah, all they are is cheap thrill, just like a sex scene.
Yeah, but the difference is, a lot of movies are, I think fight scenes are extended ones where they go way too long. Probably not. But, I don't know. I don't put those in the same category because usually it has something to do with the plot. It actually moves the plot forward when people are fighting.
I think people having sex can move the plot forward just the same. It's just a matter of if you need to see all of it.
Yeah, but you can add drama to fighting. You don't really add drama to sex. You're just like, okay, they're having sex. Now we know that they've had sex. Woo. I think with a fight scene especially, to me, sometimes there's more drama there. You don't know who's going to win. It's like wrestling where... one guy's beating the crap out of the other guy, and it looks like he's going to win, and then all of a sudden, they turn it around.
Yeah. So Hulk Hogan starts shaking his fist in the air, and he can't drop his arm the third time. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. 281 asking, it was giant. Was that not necessary in your book? That's a different thing, though, because it was used to move the plot forward. And it wasn't a sex scene. It was a rape scene. There's a big difference.
I was not supposed to enjoy that?
No, if you enjoyed that, then you're weirder than I thought.
Awkward.
But, yeah. But it's little stuff, too. Like in the sequel, when there's a reference to the N-word, I don't use the actual word because I think it tells people what they need to know when somebody calls one of the black characters an N-word. Why write that out? Why do I need to put that in there? You know what it means. And, to me, it's kind of the same thing. It's just give the reader a little credit.
That's fair.
The watcher a little credit. But, and A32 says, Fred, you're telling me you did not watch the Mother of Dragons breasts in Game of Thrones? I'm not saying I don't mind nudity. And especially in cases where it moves the plot. I'm just talking about.
So what you're saying is once the chick takes her top off and they start to make out, you could cut away.
Yeah. Yeah. Once I've seen the top.
So we still get the nudity. You're just trying to cut out like the 30 seconds after we get the initial nudity.
Exactly.
Okay. I can get on board with that.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't need to see the
I thought you were trying to get rid of it altogether.
No, not nudity. I'm just trying to get rid of the fake grinding sex.
Okay. Well, there's a discussion to be had then.
Okay. So we're not that far off then.
We're not that far off. I thought you were trying to, like, because in the True Detective, Alexandra Daddario, she could still take her top off, and then it would just, we'd cut away, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Once we know that they're about to, you know, because, I mean, again, so much of it is, you know, fake grinding and, you know, staring into each other's eyes. Like, dude, just, you know, show me the nudity. I'm fine with that. So, 832 says, Fred must be running out of material, saying we don't need to see Halle Berry in Swordfish. We did, but we didn't see her doing anything. That's fine. It's not what I'm talking about. So, and I think...
This is a really fresh take. I got to tell you, Fred, you're going out on a limb here with this.
Well, okay. I mean, that's... And I'm not saying all of them. I do think there are times when they add to the narrative, but I haven't seen one in a long time where I said, boy, that sex scene really moved things forward there. So, all right, let's take a break. We have one segment left. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And, you know, most people think I'm crazy about this. And 832 says Fred's going full hot take like Stephen A. on this. I don't consider it a hot take because I actually believe it. I'm not making this up. This is my opinion. I think most hot takes are just take a side and argue. But, no, I actually believe that. I just don't find them useful 95% of the time. So, all right, let's do a dumbass report. Put me in there, apparently.
Well, let's start with one of the oddest tweets in some time. A New Hampshire state representative resigned over the weekend following a bizarre tweet that was apparently meant to cast doubt onto the sexual assault allegation against Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Richard Comey, who's a Manchester Democrat and Biden supporter, submitted his resignation letter early Saturday morning at the request of the House Speaker, who said he was appalled by the lawmaker's comments. Basically, he said that Friday morning, Comey said he believed Tara Reid, a former Senate staffer who recently came forward with the accusation that Biden used his fingers in a way, in an inappropriate manner, in the Capitol Hill office building, was, quote, looking for attention and had made up the allegation based on the anatomy of the woman's body. Here's what his tweet said. Judging by the position of the female vagina, it will not be easy for anyone to just put their finger into the vagina unless there is some cooperation from the female herself. That is why I believe Tara Reid's allegation is false.
This is not Tara Reid the actress, right?
No, this is not Tara Reid the actress. I don't. This is R-E-A-D-E. I get if you want to, you know, be a team, I believe Biden. I have no idea what happened with it, but saying that a woman can't have that happen to her without some sort of cooperation because of the position of the vagina, probably not a great look, especially
nice.
If you're.
Nice. Guys.
An elected official. Just my thoughts. Florida man, let's get to him. A Florida man is behind bars after stabbing his roommate in the chest before turning the knife on himself, claiming that he committed the crime to release Satan. Deputies responded to the Vista Haven apartments in reference to a stabbing. When they arrived, deputies found a subject cutting himself with a knife and a victim suffering from a stab wound. The male harming himself was restrained, identified as 25-year-old Joseph Dolash. He attempted to resist deputies and was held to the ground when he began making comments such as, "Satan will come out of my wound. You will see. Satan is still in me. Satan was a worm and is going to come out of me. And if I can't talk, Satan will kill me." Deputies said the victim laying on the ground appeared to have a stab wound to the chest. Was later determined he was the roommate. When deputies asked him about his injured roommate, Dolash said, "Can't say he's Satan." According to reports, deputies then made their way to the apartment where blood was found on the walls and floor. Deputies said they located a fixed blade knife with a wooden handle covered in blood. The victim was transported to the local hospital for his injuries and later told deputies that Dolash held a kitchen knife to his throat, then cut him multiple times. Dolash told the victim that the devil was in him and he needed to get the worm out before he proceeded to stab him. Dolash then told the victim to suck the worm and the devil out of his blood from the cut on his wrist. When witnesses saw Dolash and the victim outside the apartment, the victim still had the knife in his chest. Jail records show Dolash was arrested on one charge of first-degree premeditated attempted murder and one count of sexual assault and battery. No more details on how that one got thrown in there, but apparently there was sexual nature involved.
You cut me deep, Shrek.
And sticking in Florida, Fred, the city of Miami Beach, Florida, they said, "Listen, we're going to reopen some beaches. We need you guys to be responsible, wear face masks, do social distancing, things like that." In Miami Beach, first weekend the beaches reopened, 1,550 warnings were issued for face mask violations. On Saturday, more than 2,800 warnings were issued, 2,432 given out on Sunday, and finally they just closed the park. Tried to open it up, and then they took it away. Miami-Dade County has reported 13,092 cases, leading to 378 deaths, by far the most in the state of Florida. And so the beaches to be reopened, they said it was too early to disregard it. There's a lot of frustration, but that can't be the organizing principle of what we do. So they decided to reclose all the beaches.
That's why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. And that's another Corona dumbass report.
Yeah, we could pretty much do all Corona dumbasses.
That's pretty
right
much
now.
What it is every week now. Let's face it.
Yeah. At some point, it'll be nice to have a dumbass report that's Corona free.
Oh, I can't wait, Fred.
But you know what? Until then, we'll just keep trying to do what we're doing till Ronaverse come, and then we'll go from there. Yeah, I don't know too much about this Biden thing, but I think we're past the point of not electing sexual assaulters. So
you're saying we're all in with that?
I'm not. It's like this was my least favorite possibility. So,
dude, it really and the sexual assault thing now. All the people that have been all over Trump for the past 4 years are now suddenly okay with this guy. And all the Trumpers that have said nothing happened now are pointing their fingers at Biden. I mean, it's just gross, and you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. All right, we are going to wrap it up. Another one that just flew by. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron. Decent job, me. Continue to wallow in mediocrity and, bring the grade down.
Thanks to LZ and Eric Warner.
Yeah, always fun to have those guys on, and great to hear from both of them. Hope everybody has a terrific Monday night. Until tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.